All right, amen. Let's turn again back to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and finish our message up from this morning as I begin to talk about plod for God. Plod for God, Galatians 6 and verse 9. Thank you for coming out tonight. Boy, we had a record high temperature, broke a 122-year mark yesterday, but you never knew it. Because it was so windy and so rainy. It was one of the worst days of the year. But seriously, let's pray for those down south in Kentucky. Man, what an unbelievable... And these sirens have been going off forever. Pray for these first responders. And that always triggers me to pray. I'm sure it does for you too. For whatever they're going through the night. And up here was hit. But boy, down there, man, I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures of the... devastation. I'm sure some of them are brothers and sisters in Christ. The others are just fellow human beings and lost so much in those powerful tornadoes. Maybe even churches. And maybe God will show us how as a church we can help somebody down there. And maybe we'll see about that here in the near future. But man, we have a tornado here once. We had one bounce over the church here once. Literally bounced over the church and hit a house down here on Main Street, took the front of the house off. And when you drove by it, it looked like you were looking in a dollhouse because all the rooms were there and the front was off. And I remember that day I was in my office when it bounced over the building and hit a house down here on North Main. So, but boy, there's always people going through stuff. My, oh, my. Pray for those in the Ukraine tonight. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes with 175,000 Russian troops that have been moved onto their border. Boy, things terrible in this world. Anyway, Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Trying to use the scriptures this morning and tonight and the life of William Carey to teach us the biblical lifestyle of plotting for God. And I'm not going to go through, some of you were not here, you were in junior church or something this morning, if you can get the first part. I went through some of the history of William Carey, who's called the father of modern missions. He lived in the 1700s and 1800s. He was a Baptist preacher. And he went to India for 41 years, never took a furlough. Toiled pretty much in obscurity at the time. Had about 700 converts, which is about 15, 17 a year in an area that was just literally teeming with millions of people where he was. And he was uneducated, so the world says he was uneducated. And toiled for 7 years before he had his first convert. 7 years. 7 years before he had a convert. Most people would quit. I'm sure they would say, "I'm not in God's will." But he was. And he kept at it. And prior to that, of course, when he was young and his dad died and he took over the cobbler shop and he didn't make enough money and he lost the business and it was taken away from him. And then they asked him, "Well, what are you going to do now?" He said, "Oh, I can plod for God. I can plod for God. I can just start anew today and just start taking one step at a time in doing God's will." And, of course, he began a mission society after he got saved. And then a year after he began the mission society, he said, "I'm going to be a missionary." And he went to India. And today, anybody, I would imagine anybody who has any interest in missions knows who William Carey is. Because he's been such an influence upon thousands and thousands of people, especially some of the including some of the well-known missionaries that would follow him, like Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, and David Livingston. But from his life, people studied some of the things about him, and I've been bringing these. I've been borrowing some of these points and changing some of them and preaching them on plotting for God. He's been an inspiration to me for sure decades and decades ago when I learned about him, I thought, you know, I think I can do the same thing. I don't know if I'll get very far, but I can plod for God. And so can you. And so I'm bringing you 9 points, so I want to get at it just very quickly. The first four were this. Number one, put a routine in place. Plotters always put a routine in place. They live their lives by routine. They know what they're going to do with their time during the day. Number two, plotters don't trust in the euphoria of their resolutions. Many people make resolutions, oh, I'm excited, man, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to read through the Bible this year, or I'm going to win soul, I'm going to... And they get a euphoria or inspiration, and then it's dashed over and over and over and over and over again when they quit in a week or two or whatever, a month. And so plotters don't trust in that euphoria. They don't expect that feeling of euphoria or inspiration to stick with them. They realize that the tingle is going to leave someday and they're just going to have to do some things out of duty. Number three, plotters ignore their inner pessimist. Sometimes we have an inner pessimist. We almost always have an outer pessimist, either unbelievers or some family member. Boy, it's amazing how family members keep people from serving Christ. It's one of the biggest obstacles you must overcome is your family sometimes. And it's just heartbreaking. We should never, ever put our family before the Lord. Ever. Ever. It's so clear in the Scriptures. But there's also an inner pessimist where you might be telling yourself, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And we looked at David, and he just turned away from his big brother Eliab and just said, well, let me find another crowd to run with, and that's those, the positive people who say, yeah, we can do it. Plotters do something they don't want to do. That's where we ended this morning. Plotters do something they don't want to do. Plotters have to do things they don't want to do. And we live in such a society in America where we only do what we want to do. Not everybody. But just in general, you can see that spirit nowadays. I'm going to do it if I want to. Well, a plotter's not like that. A plotter does it because it's right, whether he wants to or not. That was this morning. Number five tonight, a plotter has an unrelenting resolve. A plotter has an unrelenting resolve. These people live by 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 58. And we're talking about spiritual plotters now. The world's got its plotters too. I mean, there's some amazing people out there, character people who just will not give up. And I suppose that they can be a good example too. We need that in the body of Christ. This verse says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so a plotter has an unrelenting resolve. They doggedly just keep moving. That's what plotters do. And as a result, they can do a lot that way. It's amazing what they can accomplish in their lives. But this verse was written by the Holy Spirit through a man, Paul, who just would not give up. He just plodded forward, I believe, for about 40 years. We have his history. From the book of Acts to Philemon. The book of Acts, he's a young man. The book of Philemon, he's Paul the aged. And in between there is the history of his missionary journeys and his writings. And 40 years, boy, that guy just accomplished so much. He had a resolve, and he was completely fit humanly to write this, even though this is divine scripture. Humanly, he could say this to everybody he spoke to. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord. So that goes back to our theme verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the potential of fainting is there for all of us. And that just basically means spiritually giving up. If you are going to struggle, struggle forward. Be a plotter. Have that unrelenting resolve. You say, I am really struggling at this time in my life. Okay, great. Struggle forward. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't go backwards. Go forward. Struggle forward. And never, ever, ever give up. A plotter has that unrelenting resolve. Number six, plotters always learn something. Plotters always learn something. Usually God's work, the hands-on nuts and bolts stuff, not the scriptures, but the hands-on nuts and bolts stuff is often trial and error. You ask any missionary that goes to the mission field, and they'll sometimes maybe go and say, I got this all figured out how to do this in this town. And then they get there and that don't work. And then they eventually they figure out what works. But that's what plotters do. No matter who it is, in the Lord's work and in your life, you can have it all figured out. This is what works and this is how it's going to work. And then when you try that, you find out that this doesn't work. And there are trials and errors in everybody. In fact, many errors, many failures, many resets, many stops, many restarts, many experiments. And I want to strongly encourage you tonight, please don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. Someone once said, and I remember that success is failure plus failure plus failure plus failure plus failure plus failure equals success. Abraham Lincoln lost almost every election he was ever in. About 10 of them until he finally elected as president of the United States. I think he won being a senator one time. But failure is part. A lot of people fear failure because failure does not make us look good. I always have someone say, ah, see, I knew that wouldn't work. Some will quit after failure. Don't you? But the saddest thing is some never start for fear of failure. That's the saddest thing in a person's life. Is those that won't even start for fear of failure. I think if I tried this, I would fail. And there's a story in the Bible about a guy named John Mark. You can read about him in the New Testament in the book of Acts. John Mark. When Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 were sent out by the church at Antioch, really the first church sent missionaries in Christian history, and they were going to go forth, they decided to take with them John Mark, a young man. By the end of the chapter, he had quit and gone home. He went back to his mother's house. And he was, by all means, what we might have looked at in those days and said, he's a failure. He's a failure. But as you read between the lines and all of the scriptures, and by the way, Paul and Barnabas actually had a contention so great between them because they came back and reported, and as they were going out for their second missionary journey, Barnabas said, let's take John Mark back with us, who was his nephew, I believe. And Paul said, no way. He quit last time. He caused us grief. He caused us trouble, whatever. And Paul and Barnabas started arguing, and they got so sharp in their contention over John Mark that they split up and, as far as we know, never walked with each other again. And Paul went with Silas, and Barnabas took Mark. Well, they kind of disappear from recorded human history until the end when Paul over here, who didn't want John Mark, said, while he was in prison, send John Mark because he is profitable to me in the ministry. And so that young man became profitable in the ministry, even though he had a failure at the beginning of his work. He's a good example for us. By the way, he wrote the second gospel, Mark. Just thought I'd throw that in there for you. They call it the Gospel of Mark. They don't call it the Gospel of John Mark. They call it the Gospel of Mark. Pretty good way to end your life, huh? And so failure, you have to understand, is something that we can learn from. So number six, plotters always learn something. I don't know what John learned, but he went back to Mom's house. Mom was a dear woman of prayer. She had prayer meetings in her house when Peter was in prison. It says prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God for Peter. And that was at Mary's house. His mother's name was Mary. And John just had a praying mom. That certainly helped. But John got back at it. Even though he failed at first in the ministry, he got back at it. And boy, did God use him. Plotters accept less than ideal as progress. Number seven. Plotters accept less than ideal as progress. Jesus said about the one woman there, she had done what she could. She did what she could. Leave her alone. And sometimes we need to, if you're going to be a plotter, not quit, sometimes you're going to have to accept less than ideal as progress. For instance, if you say, I'm going to memorize 5 verses of Scripture this month, and at the end of the month you memorize 1, you did not fail. You progressed. You learned a verse you never learned before. Now, you can look at it the other way and say, my goal was 5 and I didn't make it. I'm such a failure. What a loss. No, you progressed. Now, it's less than ideal, but you progressed. See, I tried reading through the Bible last year and I only got the third the way through and I gave up. You didn't lose, you progressed. You read through a third of the Bible that you never read through before. That's not a loss. That's a gain of one third of the Bible. I spent a lot of time this week writing letters and notes. 26 letters, cards and notes I wrote this week. One response this morning. And that was a lady at Countryside. But praise the Lord, she came to church for the very first time ever out there. That made my day. That made Pastor Ben's day. So I didn't look at that effort this week as a loss. But plotters accept less than ideal as progress. I said, well, praise the Lord. Something happened. And she seemed to enjoy the service, and she's looking for a church, and her husband, I know, is looking for a church also. I don't know what will become of it. But sometimes we look at the ideal or what we put as our goal, and we don't even come close, and we get down on ourselves. But boy, if you're making progress, you're a plotter. And you say, well, I didn't come close to the goal, you know. Are we going to have 100 people in church or 200 people or 300 people in church? And you're I'm going to have this many on my bus and only a couple riders show up. Well, you made progress. That's better than if you did nothing. If you memorize one verse, if you get a third of the way through the Bible, if only one person responds to your 26 efforts to contact them or something, that's better than if you did nothing. Plotters accept that. Plotters will accept less than ideal as progress. And so, just try some things. Set some goals. Have a vision. And if it doesn't happen, well, at least at least something happened. Here's one I better explain. Number 8. Plotters do less. Boy, some people write that one down in a hurry. Amen. I finally got one I can understand here. Praise the Lord. Pastor said plotters do less. Amen. Let me explain what I mean by that. I didn't say they're lazy. They don't work hard. I'm just saying plotters are focused with a vision that will not be interrupted. And so they do less. You only have so much time in your life. Be choosy about what you do with your life. I can remember a personal note when my kids were growing up and we went over here to Hamburg, and there was a real nice coach over there, and they had track and field in the summertime. And I was young and the kids were young, and of course I had grown up with track and field, know quite a bit about it. I was in it for 5 years, and he asked me, hey, would you assist me? Would you come on and be like an assistant coach and help me with this team? And I had to say, I'm sorry. I said I would love to. I said, but. And I didn't tell him what was really on my mind. I told him I was really, really busy. But I just knew that that was not something that was eternal. And it's not. And there have been times over the years where I've had a couple occasions to join the VFW, the American Legion, and you know, well, you're a veteran, yeah, but I didn't fight in the war. Oh, that don't matter anymore. And we can, you know, maybe you could be a chaplain. I know what God wants me to do. And so I'm not involved in sports. I'm trying to do what's most important with my life, with what time I have had. Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse number 21, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, this was to a different fellow, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Orville Rickenbacker said, do one thing and do it well. And so he made popcorn. Well, he did that well. We need to take that into the spiritual realm. We cannot do everything. But we need to say no to meaningless entertainment and superfluous things and make progress in important things, eternal things. You got to ask yourself, are you doing eternal things? You will thank me someday. If you do eternal things, and there are some times where very good things can become the enemy of the best, and a plotter recognizes that, and so a plotter does less. A plotter knows how to say no, 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 no. Many times there's some very, very good things, but they are not eternal. They do not bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ or His kingdom. You got to watch it. I've seen a lot of believers in Christ spend years and years and years, sometimes decades, in sports. Very fruitless. Very fruitless. Remember one fellow, I said, oh, how many of those kids that you coached for 20 years in soccer did you lead to Christ? None. How many of those kids that you led, that you coached soccer 20 years, did you ever get into their home and meet their parents? None. I said, I'd rather be in the bus ministry at the time. I said, I'd rather be in the bus ministry. I'm in houses every week and meeting parents and getting kids to ride the bus. And I thank the Lord for all those years I was in the bus ministry. Those were eternal things. My wife met one over at the post office the other day. Used to come to Faith Bible Baptist Church. Recognized her right away. And we're so glad she's saved. Wish that she'd, you know, go further now in her walk with the Lord. Amen. I knew a man who once wrote many, many very, very influential books. Books that influenced me. And he was so busy doing good things, eternal things. Everything he did was eternal. And he was asked once, how'd you write all these books and stuff? Where did you, a man like you, possibly get the time to do all that? And he said, and he preached a sermon called The Half Hour. And he said, in the little half hours of my life, he said, if I got home and my wife said, well, dinner won't be ready for about a half an hour, I would start writing a book. I wouldn't read the newspaper. I wouldn't watch the news. I would invest that time in something that was going to outlast time to be able to influence others. And boy, did he write some good books. Man. And he knew how to take those times where most people just waste that time and say, I'm going to use it for this. What a life. Plotters do less. But what they do is eternal. And it lasts more. Then last of all, number 9, plotters start. Plotters start. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this, talk no more. Yeah, that's the first three words. But that's a good sermon right there. Talk no more. Talk no more. Talk no more. So exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Plotters start. Plotters start. Plotters don't think anymore. Plotters don't talk anymore. Plotters don't pray anymore. They start. There comes a time when prayer is over. Now get with it. Put feet to your prayers. And do something. I'm not against prayer, you know that. I think one of the happiest, I've had a lot of these, but one of the happiest hours of my life was going down to Kennedy, New York with a young Mike and Jody Herjick in their van one day, just the three of us. And a pastor, the church in Kennedy went under, the Baptist church closed up. They gave the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel for free to Pastor Emke and the church in Casadega. Open door Baptist church. I've told this story before. He calls me up and says, Pastor Cole, we just inherited this property, a parsonage, a gymnasium, a church building for free. Do you know anybody who wants to be in the ministry? I say, I sure do. His name is Mike Herzik. Right now he's up there at First Baptist in Hamburg. He's having some struggles. He married one of our secretaries, Jody Lape. They have been praying and praying and praying for God's will in their life and for God to open the door for them. He says, well, here, he says, I'll meet you down and meet and just let him walk through. So we drove down there and Mike didn't know what he was getting in. Jody didn't. I didn't either. We saw the facilities and everything. And I said, so we got in the van, we're coming back, and Mike asked me one question. He says, Pastor, what would you do? I said, I'd just walk through the open door. I said, Mike, don't even pray about this. Don't even pray about this. You've been praying for years. This is the answer. Now start. And they've been going 10 years. They got about 80 people coming now. He'd started that church from scratch with nobody. And Tyler Warden comes here every Wednesday night. He's a member down there. He says, Mike is such a good pastor. He says that to me almost every week. He says, it's just amazing what God is doing in this spot of a road, a spot of a town called Kennedy, New York, what God is doing. And that's what plotters do. Plotters start. They talk no more exceeding proudly. They don't let arrogancy come out of their mouth, for God is a God of knowledge, and by Him, actions are weighed. Just do it. I'm all for prayer and fasting and preparation and counting the cost and all that. Some people have been counting the cost their whole life. I just like that old story. We used to have a sign back here in the bathroom. Then we painted the bathroom and lost the sign. It's by Jim Elliot. I don't even remember how to quote it, but maybe some of you do. He says, God is looking for some
young men to recklessly throw their lives away for Christ.
Amen. God is looking for some young men who will just recklessly throw their lives away for Christ. Amen. That's how things get done, by those kind of people. I'm going to start a bus route. I'm going to start a church. I'm going to go to the mission field. You prayed about this? I've been praying long enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people pray their whole life. Pray their whole life for someone who's unsaved. Never do a thing to try to reach them. Might as well quit praying. Go witness to them. And but plotters start. Plotters start. They take a few very, very small steps at first. But boy, God just gets in that thing so oftentimes and just starts to bless. God just likes those kind of people that have that spirit. Have you ever started anything from scratch, from nothing, and seen God get in it? If not, I want to challenge you to do it. Not something you were handed over by something else, but just start something from scratch. Just see if God gets in it. Man, it is neat. It is neat to experience that. And it is neat to sit back for 10 years and just watch down there. And I got the calls from him. This isn't working. I don't think I'm in the right place. I think I should give him. I said, just stick it out, brother. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Same thing out at Countryside, something at Hilltop. I remember Hilltop about 4 years into that, I got to thinking, man, this isn't working. But you just start and you just stay at it. And God is blessed over there too. So I want to encourage you to understand these and, you know, be a plotter. Doesn't say be talented. Doesn't say be good looking. Doesn't say be rich, be educated or anything. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But just be, I'm just going to take a step today and take a step. I'm going to keep doing God's will. I don't care what my family does. I don't care what everybody else in church does. I don't care about these naysayers that talk behind people's backs and tell us how things won't work. I'm just going to do it. Do eternal things. Do eternal things. And you'll be glad someday. You'll be glad someday. You can plod for God. That's what William Carey said. We still talk about him. We still talk about him. He said, what are you going to do now that you failed at business and everything else? I can plod for God. And boy, he did. He's still inspiring people to this day. Well, again, let's just sing. And I think we'll do that song from this morning. Also, I am resolved. How are you doing? I hope this has been a challenge to you. As Kerry was a challenge to me decades and decades ago before I ever started, I thought, well, I can do that. I can just plod through life. And boy, it's been quite a journey. my wife going with me, so many of you helping along the way. It's been just been neat. Just been neat. And some of us will pass off the scene. Some of you are going to have to just say, well, I know God told me to do this once, and it doesn't seem like it's working, but He told me to do this, so I'm not going to quit. And then see what happens. So if you need to come and pray about something, one of these 9 points or something like that, or maybe just something in your life, or just pray God would give you the grace to do that and just plod through life, you come and pray. Let's make God's house tonight a house of prayer as we stand together and sing page 517. I am resolved. Tonight maybe you'd want to enlist as a plotter. A plotter for God.